Take a time. We're going to get started this morning. She comes back out, she comes back out. We're going to preach on baptism this morning. I'm going to be all over because I'm going to show you. I'm going to build doctrine. We've talked about this before. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. One of the things I've taught and I continue to believe, I do not believe in building doctrine solely out of the book of Acts. Yes, ma'am. Acts chapter number 8. Again, you don't build doctrine solely out of the book of Acts. You can use the book of Acts to pull stuff out of as far as to help with it, but if you build something solely out of the book of Acts, you can get into a mess. We talked about this in Sunday school, been talking about this with Sunday school, because it's a transitional period, transitioning from the Jew to the Gentile, the healing and the signs and wonders to the knowledge. And we actually covered a little bit of that this morning in chapter 13. So if you can, y'all get to Sunday school and talk about this. But here we are, Acts chapter number 8. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. This is the first picture, one of the first pictures, I believe, of a Gentile. God gives a specific Gentile being saved. When we talked about this, this represents the son of Ham of the three sons of Noah. Acts chapter 8, let's skip on down for the sake of time, verse 35. And Philip, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" Now this verse is very important in verse 37. It's found in most every one of the old manuscripts, but most every modern Bible leaves this verse out. Why do they do that? Because of what they've done with baptism. He asked Philip, "What's stopping me from being baptized? What's hindering me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So Philip told him, the only way you're supposed to be baptized is if you've believed. That's it. It's not because you're a child. It's not because you just want to join a church. He said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, you see that? They went down in the water, they went out of the water. That the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Father, I pray that you would help me this morning. This is a doctrine, God, a ordinance of the church that needs to be straightened out according to the Word of God. Not according to my feelings, not according to what I believe, but according to the Word of God. And so this morning, I pray that I'd answer any questions that may arise in people's hearts. Anybody in here that's lost, they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray that those that have been saved would come forward in obedience to be baptized, not because it adds anything to their salvation, but to be a believer and a follower and show everybody that they've trusted you. And so I pray that you would help me this morning not to be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was looking over this baptism is One of two church ordinances that we believe that God gave to the New Testament church. There's two things that God gave the church there at Jerusalem as ordinances to continue on. One of them is the Lord's Supper. We believe in communion. We don't believe that that it actually becomes the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe you do it in remembrance of Him. And the Lord's Supper, communion, is only to be administered by the local church. The same thing with baptism. We believe baptism is important. We believe it is to be administered through and by the local church. And so this morning we're going to look at some questions that God's given me. Baptism, I believe, is very important. I was telling this morning in Sunday school as I was researching this, and I didn't even know this. If you'd asked me, I probably would have said yes, but I wouldn't have been 100% sure, but I am now. Baptism, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was baptized? And not only was He baptized, but it's one of the few things that is recorded in all four Gospels. You know, there's a lot of things that the Lord did. The marriage at Canaan, that's only recorded in the book of John. There's certain things that Jesus said that I've seen that are recorded in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Some things are recorded in Mark. His death is recorded in all four Gospels. But now His baptism is recorded in all four Gospels. And so baptism is important. Did Jesus get baptized to become God? That's something that somebody has taught, because when Jesus is baptized, this is how people do. People will twist scripture. They'll say when that spirit of the dove descending on Jesus, they'll say that that's when Jesus actually became God. That He was only a man up till that point. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Why does Jesus baptized? It's obedience unto the Father. Jesus did it to show you that He put His stamp of approval on it. And so that it's something that He wants us to do this morning. So, the number one question, what is baptism? Baptism, again, it's one of church ordinances that we have. The Lord's Supper and baptism. The word baptize or baptism comes from the word baptos. Do you know it's a word? The word baptism was not a word in the English language, or baptize was not a word in the English language until when the translators of the King James Bible, when they translated that King James Bible, they translated this. And one of the instructions that King James had given when they were translating the King James Bible is that they were not to help out the Baptists and the Protestants, nor were they to help out the Catholics. When they were translating the Bible, they were to translate it exactly how it was to do. And so the problem was, when they got to this word baptos, if they had translated it, it means to dip. It does not mean to sprinkle. It does not mean to just make the head wet. It means to literally to dip. When Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus dips His bread at the Last Supper, He says, "He that dippeth and giveth this to," that dip that He's saying there, that's baptos. That's the same thing that means when we baptize somebody. And so they made a new word when they translated this King James Bible, because they were not trying to help anybody out. So they just took the Latin word that they had there, and they translated it into English. They made an English-sized word. They took each letter from Greek, and they took each letter that corresponded with baptos, and it translated actually into baptize or baptize. And so that's where they come up with this word for baptism. And it says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And so that word right there would have been the baptos. To be baptized, which means to be dipped. And so that's what the eunuch is asking there. So that's where we get that word. There's other places that he uses that word, but they always use it to mean to dip something. When Luke chapter number 16, when that rich man's in hell, and he asks Abraham, he said, "Have Lazarus that he may dip." just the tip of his finger. That dip there means, is in the original language, was baptos, which means to dip. That's why we don't sprinkle. Okay, so that's one of the church ordinances. That's what baptism is to dip somebody. Number two, what is it? It's an outward expression that you identify with Christ. It doesn't add anything to your salvation. It doesn't make you any more safe or secure in the Lord. You're as safe and secure in the Lord as you'll ever be the day that you were saved. Baptism, though, is an outward expression that you identify with Christ. That's what it means. A baby, a newborn baby, and listen, and I'm not really, if anybody this morning, if you were baptized as a baby, as an infant, as a child, and you didn't understand my time running down this morning, I'm giving you what the Word of God says, straight the Word of God. You will not find anywhere in that Bible that any baby or child was baptized. It's not in there. It's a commandment of man or a tradition of man. It's not a commandment of God. And so they as you are baptized, it is an outward expression that you've identified with Christ. When Christ was baptized, and if you want those four scripture references, I may not get to them, but I'll give them to you. The four Gospels is Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Mark 1, 9 through 11, Luke 3, 21 through 22, and John 1, 29 through 34. Again, that's Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Mark 1, 9 through 11, Luke 3, 21 through 22, and John 1, 29 through 34. Jesus comes to John to be baptized, and what he was saying was, "Is I'm identifying that John is sent from God, and that baptism is something that was sent from God." Some of you may remember, and it just came to my mind when I was thinking about that. Jesus questioned the Pharisees. He sent the baptism of John. They asked him to come to him and ask him a question. I don't remember what it is right now. They asked Jesus a question. He said, let me ask you a question also. The baptism of John, was it of God or was it from man? And the Pharisees thought within themselves, they said, well, if we say from God, he'll say, well, why weren't you baptized? And if we say from man, then all men will stone us because they all knew John was a prophet sent from God. And so the Pharisees, we can't tell. And so Jesus said, neither tell I you whatever it was that they had asked him. And so Jesus identified with John that God had put his stamp of approval on baptism. One of the other things, let me say where, John 3, I thought it was, and I know I got it here. John 3, I've got to flip over. Oh, yeah. John 3, verse 23. One of the things is it says that John was baptizing in that particular area because there was much water. So it's a picture. The third thing, what is baptism? It is one of the two church ordinances. It's an outward expression that you identify with Christ. Number three, it is a picture of the gospel. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6. Starting in verse number 1, Romans 6 chapter 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How are you dead to sin? Know ye not that as many as of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism. Buried with him in baptism. That baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we are, when we go into that water, again, it's not adding anything. It's just an outward expression. It's just showing people, I identify with Christ. Why is that? Because it also holds you more accountable. Somebody sees you up there and got baptized, and then they see you out 2 weeks later committing sin, doing something you're not supposed to. You're going to feel guilty about that if you really are saved, if the Holy Spirit of God got on to it. But we talked about this. When you are baptized, you have the water, and you have you. You're standing there saying, I identify with Christ. As Christ died for my sins on the cross, I'm burying my sins as Christ was buried, and I'm being raised in newness of life. That's what all that says when you see baptism. It is a picture of the gospel. If you ever thought, I've said that, but it is a real life picture of the gospel. Maybe we should open this thing up, make it bigger so you can see the water good. It is a picture of the gospel. You see that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again for your sins. And that's what you're saying. When you are baptized, you're saying, I identify with Christ. I want to give a testimony that God saved me. You may say where God saved you. You may say when God saved you. November 2000, I'm celebrating my 20th birthday. Maybe I should raise my hand this one. This is my birthday. This month's my birthday. This is around when I got saved 20 years ago. About on this day, it's 20-something. I have to go back and look. It's somewhere the Sunday nights there in the month of November. And God saved me an old-fashioned altar. And listen, you get up there and you say, Preacher, can I give a testimony? Yes, sir, you go ahead. I'd like to tell everybody what Christ did for me. Right here on this altar. Right here at my house. Wherever it may be. You say, God saved me. I'm identifying with Christ. I'm his now and I belong to him. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the gospel, of what he did for us. It's an outward expression that you've identified with Christ. And it's one of the two church ordinances that God has given the church to carry out. Listen, if you've been baptized, I don't care if you've been baptized by your mama. I don't care if you've been baptized by your grandma. God only gave authority to the church. I have authority through the local church, through Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle, to be here, to be seen, to preach the Word of God, to see souls saved. But if you come out of here and if we had, let's say that somebody surrendered to preach out of La Crosse Independent Baptist Church. If somebody surrendered to preach and we give them a license, we say, yes, we're putting our stamp that they have the right to go out and preach. That does not mean that they have the right to go out and baptize. We put that when we do the ordination. When we put our hands as a church, it is a physical thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. There, the book of Acts chapter 13. I said that Acts chapter 13 is a very transitional chapter there in the book of Acts. You start seeing less miracles from that point. There are a few, but you start seeing the missionaries be sent out, Paul and Barnabas. You start seeing the church at Antioch taking its position now. The church at Jerusalem is going down. The church at Antioch takes its position. They didn't just send anybody out. They sent them out. They were ordained. And that's what we believe in. We believe in ordaining pastors and preachers. And sometimes if a church needs it, we believe in ordaining deacons. But a deacon is not an authority in the church. He's a servant of the church. And so that's what you're to be baptized by somebody that is ordained, a man of God that is ordained to do so from the church. So that's what baptism is. Number two. When should somebody be baptized? We kind of covered it there in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. After salvation. After salvation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is the Philippian jailer. Acts 16. Skip on down to verse number 30. And this is the jailer. He's coming. He said, brought them out. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Saved. You see that? He asked, what do I need to do to be saved? What does Paul say? And they said, Paul and Silas say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, he didn't say you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. People take where we talked about the Great Commission at the ends of the book of the Gospels. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So did Paul give a contradiction? No, what Paul's saying is to be saved and saved only. That's it. Get yourself into heaven. You just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, not only will you come to be saved, but your family, your household will come to the saving. If the man of the house will get saved, his family will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. And so, after he got saved, he got baptized. He didn't wait around. He wanted to do it. And listen, that's what I want you to do. I want you to be eager to want to do it, because I want you to be on fire for God to want to do it. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter number 3. We looked at the Philippian jailer. We looked at the Ethiopian eunuch. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3. This is John preaching here. Matthew 3, verse number 6. Amen. Matthew 3, 6, he says, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Okay, so that's what John's doing. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is heaved down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He told these Pharisees and Sadducees that were come to his baptism service, he said, don't you think I'm just going to baptize you just because you say something. He said, I want you to show me. Because he knew what kind of vipers he called them. He knew what kind of wicked men they really were. He said, I ain't baptizing you till you show me some fruit meet for repentance. Show me that something real has happened in your life. That's how it is with our children. My children want to be baptized. I live with them daily. I want to see that something's changed in your life. There's something different about you. Some people may say, well, that's harsh, preacher. Now, who gives you the right to do that? God did. If God told John the Baptist he can do it, I think I can do it too. I mean, you wouldn't think, what would you think of me as a preacher? You think, well, that's harsh on my kid. What would you think of me if, let's say, a prostitute come in here and come down here, and maybe she cries a bunch of tears and says she's got right with God. And rather than waiting a little bit to see if there really is a change, we just immediately baptize them. What if a drug dealer? And then 2 weeks later, you come find out, well, they're still selling drugs, preacher. How's that going to look for the church? John said, I'm not baptizing you until I see something different in your life. It's not, that doesn't have to be a rushed thing necessarily. Now, I want you to want to. Because it's an obedience thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's an obedience thing because Jesus did it. We should want to. But when you should be baptized is after you've got saved. It's not before. It's not as a child. It's not, I got baptized, then I got, I was an adult preacher and I got saved. I got baptized and then I got saved. I shouldn't have to be baptized again, should I? Yes, you should. Yes, you should. I don't care if you've been baptized three times. If you weren't really saved, listen, it's just the same thing as if you write a check for $1,000 and you ain't got the money in the bank. You ain't got the goods to make that check good. Well, it's the same thing. If you go get baptized and you ain't really saved, you ain't got the goods to make that check good. When should you be baptized? After true salvation. If you've truly gotten saved, then you ought to come and ask about being baptized. That's when you should be baptized. Number two, again, if it was not done correctly. If it was not done correctly. Turn with me. You say, preacher, is there somebody in the Bible that's been baptized twice? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 19. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 19. Amen. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. You see that? He calls them, the Bible refers to them. The whole work of the Holy Spirit. He could have called them anything else, but he called them certain disciples and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now this is important. Why is this important? Because John's baptism now has faded away. John's baptism was for those before Jesus set the standard. John's baptism was for the disciples. John's baptism was for Jesus. It was for all those that came to be saved beforehand. This is after. We're in Acts chapter number 19. This is well after Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. Now again, why is this important? Because it's going to cover two things here. Two things here. If it's not done correctly, if it's not submersion, then you need to be baptized. If it wasn't after salvation, then you need to be baptized again. If it was not doctrinally correct, then you need to be baptized again. I'm just showing you what the Bible says. He said unto John's baptism. John did not baptize, and I'm going to show you what Jesus tells us Matthew chapter 28, I'll show you what Jesus told them to baptize in. And most of you probably know this and may have heard this. But he says then, verse number 4 now, then said Paul, now Apollos was a great preacher. Apollos was a good preacher. But he did not know, like some people, he did not know everything that he needed to know. They didn't have the full word of God then. So the Bible makes clear what happens. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him. You see that? That's why it's different. It was a different baptism. And so Apollos didn't know that. That is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men, there were about 12. So it wasn't just one person, it was 12. And Apollos, I can't remember, I thought it was in this place. Apollos is somewhere else, and he's with Aquila and Priscilla, and they're helping him. It's actually in the previous chapter. In church 24, it talks about that. Apollos is with Aquila and Priscilla, and they're helping straighten him out on some things. You say, preacher, that sounds harsh. Listen, preachers, we make mistakes too. That's why I'm thankful for a man of God, a pastor, that helps me. I'm thankful for men like Brother Shepherd that help me in case there's some things that I still don't know fully and may mess up on. And so Paul calls and said, how was you baptized? And they said, to John's. Here's what Jesus told them. Go with me to Matthew 28 real quick. Here's how he says in the name of Jesus. What he means is here's what here's the name. Here's what Jesus told them to be baptized at the end of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Verse number 19. Go ye therefore. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So when Paul says he baptized them in Jesus' name or in the name of the Lord Jesus, he's saying according to what Jesus told us, which was to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you were not baptized, I know it's an outward expression. It is. And it's something to be taken seriously. And so when you're baptized, you're to be baptized after salvation. It's supposed to be according to the right mode, which was being dipped to be symbolic and show the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. But it's also to be done properly. Now, I've not run into it. Maybe you have, whatever. But I know that there are other denominations that I've been told that only baptize in like the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father. Jesus told them, you're to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. When we baptize somebody, that's what we say. I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And we take you fully down and pull you fully back up. And we make sure, I've seen guys make sure if they don't fully get under, they make sure they get them twice. They will make sure they're fully under so that you're fully buried with Christ. And studying some of this out, I'm convinced some of it myself a little bit more. I used to think when we were at a guy's, we were in a church, had a meeting with the church, and they did that, and the guy baptized him, and his face didn't quite get under. He said, hold on, man, I got to get you fully under. He said, because I want you to, and now I know why. Because it's a full picture of the burial, and you want to make sure that you're, I know it's symbolic, but it's still something that you're saying, I'm fully buried with Christ. I'm burying my past life. I'm burying my sins with Christ, and I'm being raised in newness of life. And so when you're baptized, when should you be baptized? After true salvation. And to be baptized again if it was not done correctly. If you were sprinkled and even if you were saved, you need to be submerged. It's showing people that you are dying with Christ and being raised with Him in newness of life. If you were done through the wrong doctrine, if you went to a church that taught that baptism is part of salvation, that's false doctrine. You need to be baptized again. And I believe if you'll pray about it, God will work it in your heart. I know two people right now, one of them has passed on. Me and Brother Shepherd had this discussion. At first I thought, that's crazy. Baptism is just an outward expression. It is. But it's also, when you do that, when I baptize you, I want you to take this serious. If you want to be baptized, you are identifying with this church that doctrinally, I agree with you. We're not going to agree on everything. I understand. But it is to agree on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's up for the blood atonement that you agree that the word of God is the end. You may not fully understand. Maybe you're not quite as sold on this King James Bible as I am. I believe you'll stay here. You'll get there. But you should believe that the Bible's inerrant, infallible, word of God breathed. Word of God. You should believe in the virgin birth, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and the deity, that He was God in the flesh. Those are the fundamentals. If you can't agree on that, then you don't need to be baptized. I can tell you that right now. Now, some of these other things that we're not going to agree 100% on, but if you cannot agree on those fundamentals of the faith, then I cannot baptize you. I can tell you that right now. Because those are the fundamentals of the faith. That's what we call a fundamentalist. Those are the foundation principles found in the Word of God that are absolutely in there that I can show you Scripture. It's not like one of these things where some of these men, I've met men that they'll fight about when the church began. There is no definite verse in here that says, and thus began the church. Okay, I told you what I believe the other week. When I said that God breathed on the disciples in the upper room, I believe, and I gave scripture to back it up. God breathes two other times, it breathes life, so the third time naturally should bring life. But if you believe that the church began on the day of Pentecost, I'm not going to church you for that. I've met guys that will cut off other guys in fellowship because that is absurd. There is no verse that plainly says, and thus began. But I can give you verses that show that he was born of a virgin. I can give you verses that show that he was God in the flesh. He was exactly who he said he was. He was born God. He didn't become God. He was born God. I can give you verses that back up the blood atonement that says we are washed in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I can give you verses that back up. The word of God is pure. Tried in the furnace of the earth 7 times. Purified. There's over and over again, I can give you stuff that backs up the Word of God is to be what we believe in. Those are fundamental faiths, foundational truths. Again, if you can't see that or believe that, I can't baptize you. But if you've been baptized by any other doctrine, if you were baptized in a church, and I don't think there is anybody in here that I know of, if you have, you just haven't told me, but if there has, then we need to talk. And I'll pray that you, if you still don't see it this way, I still would like to talk to you. But if you've been baptized, if you were baptized to a church that they said that baptism was part of salvation, then you don't fully agree with that, and you say, well, I don't know if I should be baptized again, we can talk, or you can pray about it. You should definitely pray about it. I'm just telling you. The more I studied it, the more sure I am. Because I kind of was like, well, I think some people make a super big deal. Absolutely. The more I study it, the more I realize it is a big deal. It's not something to be taken lightly. That's why we don't just let our children, when they make professions. I want to see that there's fruit in your life before I'll put you underneath that water and identify. You may say, well, they may end up being baptized twice. And say, well, what happened, preacher? I'm still a man. I can listen, kids can reform too, just as adults can. But we ought to see something different in somebody's life. What is baptism? It's a picture of the gospel. When should somebody be saved? After salvation. Done correctly. If it was not done correctly, if they were not submerged with the right doctrine. Number three. William. Number three, I may stop right here because I didn't realize, man, it's already 30, 40 minutes into this. Number three, where should someone be baptized? Where should someone be baptized? Where should someone be baptized? We done kind of covered this. In water, fully in water. He said, that AWU said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he said, if thou believest. And he stopped the chariot, and they both went down into the water. And it says they came out of the water. If he was just going to sprinkle somebody, you think he needed the whole body of water to go down into? I'm not trying to be mean to people. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. John, I gave you that verse of scripture there in John chapter number 3, verse number 23. Aaron, I can't remember how to say it. It's a four-letter word, a weird name of a town, starts with an A. He said he was baptizing there because there was much water. So where you'd be baptized? In water. It's the picture of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where else? What else should it be? Where else should you be? You should be at church. It should be done through the church. God gave the church the ability. Acts chapter number 2, real quick. I'm going to finish this tonight. You ought to come back and hear the rest of this. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, he says in verse number 37. Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, because he's preaching to the Jews, and to all that are far off. So he told them, he said, it's to you because you're the Jews. But he also said, it's to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added to what? To be, listen, this again, this is where it comes from. To be added to something means there had to be something there, right? To add to your bank account, that means there had to be a bank account there before, even if it's $0. But to add to something, had to mean something. So for this, that's why I believe the church started before the day of Pentecost. Again, I'm not going to church you. I'm not going to fight with you about it. I know a great man of God that I love that believes it started on the day of Pentecost. I believe it was already there because to add to it, it had to be there. But I'm not going to fight about it. But they were added to, where are you to be baptized? You're to be baptized in water, at the church or through the church. The church is the one with the responsibility. It's not given to everybody. I mean, you think, well, preacher, I don't have a problem with my mom and daddy. My mama baptized me or my dad baptized me. That's hogwash. Would you have a problem with your mom and daddy serving you communion? People we'll have people out here baptizing just random people. But we don't have people just out here serving randomly doing communion, do we? No, because it's a church ordinance. Where do we do it? At the church. I believe, now listen, I'm not going to force anybody to because I've seen examples, but I believe that when you be baptized, you're also not only identifying with the church and the doctrine of the church, you're saying that I want to become a member of the church. Now I can give you, but for sake of time this morning, I may say it tonight and give you the example, but there are times when I'm not going to push somebody into it. If somebody says, I want to be baptized, they're coming faithful and I want to be baptized, but they're afraid because of something that's happened in their past, they may not want to join the church then. I know that's heresy to a lot of some independent Baptists, but I don't care. I'm not going to force somebody to be. When I got baptized, I didn't have no clue. Nobody told me you're becoming a member of the church. I just knew I needed to be baptized. Nobody took the time to try to explain all this to me. I just knew that Jesus had been baptized. He commanded when you got saved to be baptized. I knew I needed to be baptized. That's all I knew. I didn't know much about it, but I do now. So, where are you to be baptized? In water? At the church? Where else? In front of others. Because it's a public testimony to your family, to your friends, to the fellow church members, that I'm identifying with Christ. You're supposed to do it in front of others. You're to tell others and show others, hey, I'm identified with the Lord Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Him. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Listen, don't be ashamed of Him. He says, you won't be. Listen, you shouldn't be ashamed of Him. He died. He only died for your sins. He only hung there in open shame, clothes stripped off of Him. Beat from head to toe, blood coming out, crown of thorns upon his head, his beard ripped out from his face. He only did all that for you. At least you can do is go up in front of the church if you've been saved and be baptized. Tonight, when we're going to look at those. Again, we've looked at what is baptism. When should somebody be baptized? Where should someone be baptized? Tonight we're going to look at who should be baptized and why should someone be baptized. And then I'm going to give you some questions to ask yourself. You ought to come back tonight, 6:30. We'll finish this up. Father, I pray that you would take the message now, work it in the hearts of those that are here, bring them back tonight. God, I pray, Lord, for those that are sick and those that are down without strength because they can't be here, that you would touch them, give them strength to be here, God. Help us as we labor here for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.